It's time for Heat Wave Sports. Sit back and relax as you take a tour around the world of sports each and every Saturday and Sunday night. And now, your hosts for Heat Wave Sports, Tim Unglesby and Tom Barton.
All right, Las Vegas, it is Saturday night. 2 hours of the best sports talk radio coming your way here on Heat Wave Sports. I am Tom Barton from TomBartonSports.com. Tim Unglesby will be joining me shortly. We got a lot to talk about. First thing on the menu, we've got to talk about UNLV. It took a little while. We're not happy on Twitter, but you know what? UNLV not only won, they covered, took overtime, defended their home court. They're at 16 wins, which puts them a game over what I thought they would be. And all of the people screaming and yelling to get a new coach. You know what? We have to have a conversation. I have been anti-Menzies from the start, and this year suddenly you guys back me into a corner where I'm defending him. So we'll talk about that for sure. Also, I can get into Nevada. Nevada goes down. They go down against Utah State. And people on social media, especially somebody that I know and respect, I'll talk about what his tweet said, basically bashing Musselman, not for this game, but for the year that Nevada has had. Look, when you have your sights set on something as big as a top five, you can't lose in conference, as much as they have, in a bad conference, or you're going to get detractors. So I want to talk about Nevada. I want to talk about Nevada moving forward. How are they going to look going into the tournament? How does the West tournament really start looking and shaping up? Is there someone that can knock off Nevada? Look, they have three losses on the year. All three losses came in conference. All three losses came away. All three losses came in situations where they were favored. Now, today, they're only favored by 1.5 points. That seemed like a weird line to me. I talked about it at Sports Garden on my main show in New York. My daily show, I should say, not main. My daily show in New York, I talked about it. And that was a weird line. I actually talked to Chris Wynn this morning. And he said, "Now, what do you think?" Man, I don't know. It was a weird line. You have to like Nevada, but it was a weird line. They failed to cover. This team isn't traveling well. At the end of the game, Musselman's crew looked lost. They just flat out looked lost. Okay? Is that bad coaching? Tonight it was. If you take a team and you lose three times in the Mountain West tournament when, you got blown out in some games, we'll talk about Nevada. Overall, look, we're getting there, right? 2 weeks away from the tournament, we're getting right down to the nitty-gritty. Some teams have punched their ticket. Some teams are shockingly just not stepping up. We'll get into all of that as well. As also get a little, if we could squeeze in today, if not, we'll do it on tomorrow's show, a little combine talk, a little trade rumor talk. Josh Rosen may be on the move. Kyler Murray, absolutely. We'll get into that. And Bryce Harper. Yeah, I know it's been a couple of days, okay, but the news is still kind of trickling out. What Bryce said and what he did today, both good and bad, if you're a Philly fan. He had one of the all-time blunders today when he gave his press conference, and he also said one of the things that you just have to look at and say, wow, you really, really want Philly to hear the words coming out of Bryce's mouth. So we have a lot to talk about. 876-1340 gets you a part of the show. 876-1340, or you can hit us up on Twitter. It's HW Sports or at Tom Barton Sports over on Twitter. We'll take all of your questions. You know, one of the things, and we'll start it off with UNLV, one of the things that separates this show from everywhere else is we could take an outside perspective, right? It is difficult, and this isn't blaming. I know we rip on some of the media sometimes here, okay, especially the media that claims that they're against someone, where they're on record being for. I'm not getting into blaming the media. Sometimes it's just hard to take that outside look and to see what that team is from an outsider's perspective. That is the perspective that we are able to handle here. And this is why myself and Tim have been on top, on the forefront for a decade about UNLV. There's nobody else in this town that covers UNLV quite the way that we do. For better or for worse, nobody covers it quite the way we do. And when you're talking about UNLV and you have an outsider's perspective, the UNLV Rebels, guys, they're not as bad as people are now all of a sudden jumping on Menzies. Just like for a couple of years now, they haven't been as good as you thought. You know, that is the entire theme. I could say this year about UNLV football. I could say this year after year about UNLV basketball. It depends what you think this team is. As your expectations are, is where we're going to move on in this conversation. What were your expectations before the year? Most of the time, in almost all situations, what we get on this show from media members, from fans, and from the casual Las Vegas people are overriding expectations. Expectations that are set to a ridiculous level. And then we call them out on the level. Specifically, I will say, hey, guys, this is what I think. I will get bashed for calling them out on that level. Then they meet that level, and everybody freaks out, and they're the worst team ever. Let me give you an example. Before this year began, I came out here and I said, I think UNLV is going to have a hard time going 500. I had them at 15 wins, okay? We got a lot of people writing us on Board Sports, HW Sports, a lot of people bashing them. Are you kidding me? This is a 20-win team. Then they got off to a hot start playing cupcakes. Oh, Tom, you're so wrong. Well, you know what? I am wrong today. They got 16 wins. They got their 16th. In lieu of getting their 16th win, you know, what would you give up? What would you trade? This is a team that is better than what I believe it would be. I think Tim had them at 18 wins. So it's right there. But suddenly, everyone hates Marvin Menzies. Suddenly. The guys that liked the hiring are on record liking the hiring of Menzies. When myself and Tim didn't like it, we're on record not liking it. Specifically, Tim, I was mediumly cold about it, if you want to use a term. I was, you know, not certain I didn't like him. I didn't love the hire, but I thought UNLV was up against the wall. People that are in this town on record liking Menzies have now thrown him under the bus, and guess what? He's having the best year that he's had here. Now, what is that saying? Not saying much, but if you're looking for growth, guys, if you're looking for growth, Marvin Menzies has growth. I can't believe that I'm the guy. I'm the guy that's taking Marvin Menzies back here. Do I think Marvin Menzies should go? Well, I don't think he should have ever been here in the first place. So if you want to trade, you know, another coach for Marvin Menzies, I'm all aboard. I am okay with that, okay? But it had better be the answer, the fix. It had better be that guy. You can't trade Marvin Menzies and go bring back a mediocre coach, someone that might do the job. Because Marvin Menzies, he's given you every reason for him to stay. Maybe not you, the fan, that wanted more from this team, but he's shown growth. We all say throw out the first year, right? Okay, so we're all throwing out the first year. And then the second year comes, and he you know, he was bad last year. And now we're sitting here this year, and you go 16-13, 10-7 in the Mountain West. Yeah, Marvin Menzies right now is doing a better job than people are giving him credit for. I don't think he's a good coach, guys. I'm not telling you that. I have to stay true to who I am as opposed to other guys in this town. I have to try to stay true and give Marvin Menzies credit where credit is due. And I said this a couple of weeks ago. We had, you know, callers on. I know Chris came on, Tim, and I kept saying, guys, I'm waiting. I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait to see what happens. Because I thought, after the last seven games, I believed that they would win about three. Well, they've won four. They have Colorado State coming up. If they finish the year, win or lose, look, if they win that game at 17-13, that's impressive. I'm sorry, it is. Is it impressive to the level where UNLV fans want it? No. But to me, my opinion of UNLV, that is impressive. Because I did not believe in this UNLV team. I didn't believe in Menzies. I didn't believe in UNLV. If you believed that this team was a 20-win team, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what you were looking at. I really don't. I don't know what you saw in a team to tell me that they were going to win 20 games. I saw some guys out there go, well, 20 to 22 wins. I don't know what you saw. If you told me before the year 16-13 record and 10-7 in the Mountain West, I'm going, okay, all right. It's right in the wheelhouse. It's right there. And yes, one game, to those that are asking, one game can swing us. If they had lost today, instead of winning in overtime, if the UNLV Rebels had lost this game, that would be a three-game losing streak, potentially a four-game losing streak to end the season. Okay? You're sitting there at 15-14, exactly where I had them. And then you lose to Colorado State. You win the 15-15, which is where I had them, at 15 wins. You have a four-game losing streak to lose going into the Mountain West tournament. Yeah, now we are having a different conversation. Today's win, for me, I'm not telling you overall, guys, I'm not telling you that this should be your opinion. For me, who had this team at 15 wins, Marvin Menzies did his job this year. He did his job. Because I am an outsider. I am not looking at UNLV as anything more than what they are. And that is a team in a really bad conference that is middle of the road. They're fifth in the Mountain West. Fourth, fifth, sixth, that's where UNLV is. You want to tell me they should be better? I'm listening. They should be better. You want to tell me another coach can make them better? I'm listening. He probably can. But Marvin Menzies was handed, and I am no Marvin Menzies apologist, Marvin Menzies was handed in year one an impossible situation. Impossible situation. And he's shown growth. And I say the same thing about Coach Sanchez. I didn't like Coach Sanchez's hiring. I may have been the only one in town. The only guy in Las Vegas that didn't like Coach Sanchez's hiring, I'm on record, I didn't like it. And I have told you every single year Coach Sanchez will not make a bowl game. And every single year, Coach Sanchez has not made a bowl game. Do I think that Coach Sanchez is a bad football coach? No. Do I think he is not a good college football coach? Yes, I do. Do I think Marvin Menzies is a bad basketball coach? To be determined. I don't think he's a good one. I'm not saying he's a bad one. To be determined. But I think that to be determined is out there. I do believe, well, first of all, he's coming back no matter what. Unless UNLV goes out and they get, a big splash guy, and I get it. Everybody in this town loves to talk about Patino. Patino. If UCLA is open and UNLV is open, he's going to UCLA. It's just facts. Now, Patino might come here, and maybe they will. Maybe they'll go get a big name. But UNLV will get a name, not the best coach. UNLV has shown throughout the hiring process, look at how many people we've been through. Look at how many coaches they've interviewed and been through. Look at the quality. Look at the people that they've talked to. Look at the people that they've almost hired or sort of hired or went out there and they were on top of the list. They're either big names or they're assistants with UNLV ties. They're not going out there and getting somebody that is an X's and O's genius that can walk onto the campus and make this team a winner. And they're not going to pay Marvin Menzies to buy out the last year of his contract. Look, I think he's gone after next year, kind of regardless what he does. Unless you win a game in the tournament next year, I think he's gone next year. But I do think that he earned the right to give it one more try. I want to hear from you guys. 876-1340, 876-1340, Tom Barton Sports over on Twitter. I believe that Marvin Menzies, with this win, yes, it's one win. It's in overtime. It's one win on your home floor in a game you're supposed to win. I get all that. But it gave him 16. It gave him 16. And you point to his record this year, and you point to the losses. Okay? You know, some of the losses don't look so good. Losing twice to Nevada, perfectly fine. Perfectly fine. Losing at Utah State, you can live with that. You know, losing to Illinois, losing to Cincinnati, losing to even Valpo, you can live with that. You know, he's got some bad ones. Don't get me wrong. Air Force is still sitting there as a miserable. Miserable. And look, they don't really have a big win. I'm not telling you they do. Look, at BYU was forever ago. I guess that was a nice win. Right? I mean, it's not the same BYU team that we were used to. But I guess that's a big win. Beat New Mexico twice, all right, solid win. Yeah, nothing special. So beat Boise State now twice, solid win. This is what UNLV is. This is who they are, guys. They are no longer the team that is going to compete for a championship, a Mountain West championship. They're just not there. Nevada is head and shoulders on top of them. But Nevada's a top 10, 19 preseason in the country. Right? They're in that middle group. You've got to readjust yourself for right now. I'm not telling you that this is where you want to be, but this is where you are right now. You are a 4-5-6 seed in the Mountain West. That's where you are. Before the year, I thought you'd be worse. Before the year, I believed UNLV was a 15-win team. They got to 16 already. Can they beat Colorado State? Yeah, I think they can. I don't think they will. But Colorado State's 12-17. They're worse. You can't sit here and tell me that UNLV cannot win that game. And if they do, you're talking about 17 wins and 11 in conference. They're against the bottom feeders. Yes. But you're a middle-of-the-road team. You're supposed to beat the bottom feeders. That's who you're supposed to go up against. That's who you're supposed to go beat. You know, it's the best of both worlds when you're talking about a way to bash and ridicule UNLV. Everybody in this town is either 100% for or 100% against UNLV. And I'm sitting in the middle. I usually have hard takes that make people write in and call in and everybody hates it. I'm sitting in the middle here, guys. Because UNLV is sitting in the middle. You know, is UNLV better than Nevada? No, they're not. Is UNLV better than Utah State? No, but they can compete with them. Can they beat San Diego State? We watched that. Can they beat Fresno State? Yeah, I think they can. UNLV sitting here in fifth place in this conference, I think that they are... You can argue they're the third best team. I can argue right now that they are better than San Diego State on the same level. We'll say on the same level. I can argue they are on the same level San Diego State and Fresno State. I do not think that UNLV is a good team. I'm not asking them to be a good team because I don't think that you guys should have that expectation of a good team. 11 wins in conference if they win next week. 11 wins in conference is still 11 wins. It's a pathetic conference. Pathetic. Still 11 wins. Get yourself to 17 wins, still 17 wins. For me, how I looked at the season, how I looked at what UNLV would be, it's a better season than I anticipated. You want to sit back and tell me it's still not enough? I get it. I get where you're coming from. And I agree with you. UNLV program should be better than this. They should be better than this. But in the almost 10 years that I am here on Las Vegas Airways, I don't think that this team has ever been particularly better or particularly worse. Under Dave Rice, you know, maybe a little bit better. But really, what difference did it make? You know, and you are in that middle ground. Marvin Menzies not making a tournament this year. We know that. Is Marvin Menzies coming back with this team and being a coach next year? Does he have a chance at the NCAA tournament? I don't think he does. But if he wins 16-17 this year, and he's able to come back next year, do I think that he's got a chance to win 17-18 next year? Sure. Sure I do. Is that progress? Minimal. Minimal progress. So I'm not championing for Marvin Menzies. I'm not here championing for UNLV. I'm not. I will not champion for them. But I will tell you this. People that are calling for Marvin Menzies' head, because of the record and because of what he's accomplished, there is the other side to the coin. I've been on your bandwagon since day one. I didn't want Menzies here. I wanted him fired in year one. I wanted him fired last year. I have been on your side where Menzies isn't the answer. And guess what? Menzies still isn't the answer. He's still not the answer. But his team is better than I thought, and his team has improved. Every year he's here, his team has gotten better. And if you take out the name Marvin Menzies, and I told you that about a coach, coach is going to come here in an impossible situation, and he's going to get better every year that he's here. The media has completely turned on Marvin Menzies. Media joined where I was 2 years ago on Marvin Menzies, and now I'm turning back. He's not making me a believer in him. I'm going on straight numbers. You get 17 wins when I think you get 15, you've shut me up. Marvin Menzies has shut me up. I don't believe that UNLV is a good team, but I don't think they're a bad team. And that's where we live right now with UNLV. That's where you've got to come to grips where you are with UNLV. If Pitino walks in here and he takes the job, is he a better fit? Yeah, he is. He's better. He's certainly better. There are other names that I've heard of that I'm not sure they will be marketably better. A couple of games here and there. I still don't think they're winning a tournament game. That's where I'm sitting with UNLV. That's where I believe this UNLV team is. They are a middle-of-the-pack team. They've been a middle-of-the-pack team. They'll continue to be a middle-of-the-pack team. Now, we just got a Twitter running. You guys can write us over at HW Sports or at Tom Barton Sports. Fernando writes in, before the season, I took 15 wins and 11-7 in conference, average team. 100%. Took the words out of my mouth, Fernando. I did the same thing. I said 15 wins. I said 14 or 15. I'll give him the 50. 15 wins. Average team. And that's exactly what, nothing to get excited about. But the overwhelming hate and whooping of Menzies has just gone too far. It's just gone too far. All right, guys. We're going to take a timeout. We'll still take your UNLV calls here on Heatwave Sports. 876-1340. But I want to come back with a little conversation about Nevada today. I think you guys are going to enjoy this. Mike Randall had a tweet. I've had him on my other show. Mike Randall had a tweet that I think Las Vegas fans will really enjoy. And we'll dive into what happened to Nevada today, as well as go around the country for NCAA basketball. I'll be back right after this.
Back to Heatwave Sports with Tom Barton.
All right, guys, back here on Heatwave Sports. Tom Barton from TomBartonSports.com here, taking you another hour and a half or so, getting a lot of responses about UNLV, and I think the fans are accepting the fact, whether you like it or not is different, but you're accepting the fact this is an average team. They're not bad, and they're not good. They are everything that is middle of the road that you can be. You know, anybody out there that's sitting around flapping their gums about, well, this isn't, you know, well, I'm already on my Nevada. You know, tonight's win isn't a great win. Boise State's not that good. And blah, blah, blah. Listen, go from the linesmakers. The linesmakers tell you what the public feels. Public felt UNLV was a 2-point favorite. Public felt it was a pretty close team, a pretty close game. This is what they are. I mean, this is what they are. They're about the same, except Nevada is leading the pack, and all of a sudden, you know, you might have a little competition. Everybody else after that is about the same. Everyone's about the same. The Mountain West is jumbled up with one really good team, one team that we'll talk about in a minute that might be a little good, and then a bunch of middle-of-the-road teams. You know, 16 wins, you know, to 11 or 12 wins. What's the difference in the Mountain West? Not much. And we've seen it tonight. Not a lot of separation, one way or the other. Which brings me to Nevada. Nevada loses tonight. And I got to tell you, there has been some hot takes on Nevada. First of all, let's get into the game itself. First of all, this isn't the tragic loss that is being made out to be, but I will get into more of that in a moment. Utah State, did they punch their ticket tonight? And I'm really asking this. Look, I know the Mountain West is a pathetic conference, and it is a pathetic conference, right? But I think they did. I do. I think they absolutely punched their ticket. I think they're going to the tournament. With this win, I think this is huge. Look, we know that the Mountain West is really, really bad. But you just beat your top 15. You have the record. When you turn around and you go, you're first in the Mountain West. They're going to win the regular season Mountain West tournament, right? Or title. They're going to win the regular season Mountain West title. They're going to have 24, 25 wins going into the conference tournament. They've got a huge win against Nevada. Utah State's going to the NCAA tournament, guys, because of this win. Because of this win. You look at strength of schedule and things like that. Who wants to play this team? It's a bad conference. You know, we get that. We get how bad this conference is. They've won like 14 of the last 15 games. Their only loss is a close game at San Diego State. You go back, they lost at Nevada. Fresno at home hurt. They lost to Houston. Everybody loves Houston. Arizona State, earlier in the year. BYU, they have a resume where they needed a big win, and this is their big win. Utah State's going to the NCAA tournament, guys. As far as Nevada, let me give you Mike Randall's take. And you guys, I don't know if you've heard of Mike. I've had him on my New York show, and Mike Randall does the Randall Rant. He put out a tweet today, and it wasn't just Mike, I have to say, but his tweet just got the most venomous hatred back. He said, Eric Musselman is the worst coach in the country this year. I mean, that's basically what he said. Now, I don't fully agree with the statement, but I understand where he's coming from. Nevada was way overrated before the year. I think we can all understand that. They have a pristine record where if you were not paying attention, you're looking at this Nevada team and you're going, okay, you know, well, they had a good year. They had a really good year. They're 26-3. They're the number 12 team in the country before tonight. Yeah, they had a really good year if you weren't paying attention. They play in a terrible Mountain West Conference. They have played one team all year that's a top 25 team. That is a neutral court. That was Arizona State. We know has fallen massively off, right? Arizona State is certainly not Arizona State. And I don't want to misquote Mike. So let me tell you exactly, word for word, what he said. The worst coaching job of the year in college basketball, Nevada's Eric Musselman. And it's not even close. He brings up good points of why. I don't necessarily think he's the worst up, but when you start to break down who Nevada is, you do start to understand maybe he's got a little bit of a point. they don't play anyone. Arizona State was their only top 25 win. They got humiliated at New Mexico. They got beat down at San Diego State. Now they lost to Utah State. There are three teams in this conference that I guess give you a little trouble. All three of them beat them on their home floor. Now they got Air Force at San Diego State, so they're going to finish off their season with a nice 28-win season going into the conference tournament, where they'll certainly be favored. But I'll tell you what, even if they win that, how do you feel about Nevada moving forward? How can you feel confident with the Wolfpack going into the NCAA tournament? Are they, every year you have a team that is ranked very high, and I'm not talking about number one with Virginia last year. Let's calm down, okay? Every year you have a team that's ranked very high, though. 3 seed, 4 seed, maybe even a 2 seed, that you go, they're ripe for the fall. And I'm not talking about first round, but they're ripe for the fall. They're ripe for that big upset. Nevada feels like that team, don't they? Look, Nevada's not getting a number one seed in the tournament. They're not getting a number 2 seed. After this loss, I don't think they get a 3 seed. I don't. I don't think they're going to get a 3 seed. I think they're destined for a 4 seed. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at this from a handicapper's mindset. I'm thinking they're going to get a 4 seed. Who can I look at, and see a 4 seed? Can they go down? And I'm going, yeah, they can. This is a team that could go down in the first round of the tournament. This is a team that I don't see making it out of the first weekend. Now, they might get a 3 seed, and it doesn't change my opinion. And this isn't based on tonight. It's based on the overall work. I know people in this town don't like Musselman, but they also praise him. He has not coached his best this year. Musselman has 3 players that are NBA-level talent. I don't know if they all make it, but they're NBA-level talent. 3 players. Really, really superior athletes and superior talent than anyone in this conference. Massively superior. You got 3 wins. How can I be ripping apart Nevada? I'm just giving you the facts moving forward. Moving forward, what I see in this team is a team that can be beat and will be beat. I'll be taking the points against them in round one. I'll be taking the points against them if they make it out of round one. I might take a little money line action. I don't even know who they're playing. But I don't feel like they're going to be up to the test. I think they're massively overrated. What does this loss mean to them? This could ignite them. It could. And I've heard that argument from people from Nevada, that are backing UNR. They're going, okay, listen, this could ignite them. This could get them refocused. This could send them into the tournament angry, hungry, trying to go crazy against everybody, win the Mountain West tournament, get prepared mentally for the NCAAs. I get that. That's the optimist way of looking at it. Of course it is. If you're a UNR fan, that's how you're going to look at this. You're going to look at this as, okay, use this as a jumping off point. But we've seen this happen before. 3 true road games against the 3 best teams in this conference, or close to the 3 best teams in this conference. You lost them all. You lost them all, and you lost one in embarrassing fashion. Again, it's not a 1 game, and I'm taking nothing away from Utah State, who I'll get to in a moment. But it just goes to show you. Now, in the locker room afterwards, there's video all over the place. I posted this on Twitter. Jordan Caroline punched a fire extinguisher, broke the glass. They are saying, and you can hear the players and coaches screaming at the cops because people charged the court. They're angry that someone charged the court. They don't know exactly what was said, what touched, and you could hear them alluding to something where Jordan Caroline was touched or pushed or shoved or whatever it was. Utah State fans stormed the court, and Nevada lost it. They really, really, really lost it. But I'm not telling you that they shouldn't have. I'm watching the video. It looks pretty rough. it looks pretty rough. You could hear yelling. You could hear screaming. Carolina's being held back. You can hear them getting... They're yelling. They're yelling. Players and coaches are yelling at the police. They're yelling at the police. You know, and you gotta wonder. I'm jumping to conclusions just based on a half a video, which we all learned we should not do. Okay, Covington comes to mind. Not looking at half a video and make conclusions, but I'm gonna make some conclusions looking at a half a video. You got to think something really went wrong with Utah State, the fans. You shouldn't see a player reaction like this, risking his health, blowing his staff. I'm sure the loss was frustrating, but this is one of the problems with storming the court. You've got to get these players out of there quicker. And now you go, okay, you have all this going on. You have what went on the court. Now what's going off the court. And it's a problem. You know, it's a problem because players get hurt. It's a problem because, you know, you have incidences and issues like this. Let's remember, guys, and I say this a lot about college, these guys are still kids, right? These guys are still kids. Now, I've watched the video of the court being rushed more than once. It didn't show it. I didn't see anything. So maybe it was more of something being said than being touched. But it's shocking. It's shocking. So you wonder, with this reaction, does this propel them? Does this help? Does this get them even more fired up after a loss? I'm not sure, but I just don't like where UNR is right now. I don't like where they are right now. All right, what about Utah State? Utah State wins. I think they're in the tournament. I think they just punched their ticket. Unless they have a complete no-show in the Mountain West, and it still might not matter. It still might not matter. They may. Chances are they're getting back to the Mountain West Conference tournament finals, probably against Nevada. I would lean Nevada in that rematch just because of the emotions that just happened here and whatnot. But I think they're going regardless. And to say that the Mountain West is a too big conference is surprising to even have the words leave my mouth. I'm shocked. But I think that they are. I think they've become a too big conference right now. I think that this is a team that you look at and you go, their coach is just elevated them to such a level. I like to bet on coaching late in the season. I still, for some reason, can't find myself taking Utah State. But I do know this. Look, this is a good team that getting the right position, getting the right opponent, give me the right situation, I might be in on them. I was very impressed with what they've done this year. I don't think that their talent... first of all, their talent is nowhere near... Like I said, their talent is nowhere near. It's nowhere near. But I don't think their talent is exceedingly better than even UNLV. I don't think it's exceedingly better than anybody else in this conference, except they're performing better. You can make a case that he's coach of the year, right? I mean, you can make a case that he's coach of the year. So, one game in the Mountain West tournament really kind of swung the idea of what this conference is. It really did. It kind of swung exactly who this conference is, what's going on with the conference, and moving forward, I believe this is a too big team. By the way, this is Utah State's, or two big conference, I should say. By the way, this is Utah State's first win against the top 25 team since 2007. 2007. Wow. All right, let's go around the league. Let's talk about what happened today. Because there are some surprising lines, there are some surprising games out there with the final line where you go, wow, okay. It's a little shocking. First of all, Gonzaga just continues to just maul people. St. Mary's is getting 10.5 at home. This used to be a rivalry. 21 St. Mary's beat Gonzaga's just crushing people. I still don't believe they're the best team in the country, though. I'm sorry. I don't believe it. I still think you have to. I like the lower conferences. I get it. I still think you've got to go through the gauntlet. Gonzaga plays no one every night. Eventually, that's going to come back and bite you, which is why I do like Virginia. Bounce Pittsburgh. That's all they do. Virginia, all Virginia does is just humiliate everybody but Duke. I mean, they really do. They go out there, they had an 18-point spread today, covered it with ease. Virginia crushing Pittsburgh, and Virginia is the team before the year. Once again, yeah, I know. I picked two teams to go to the championship and win it this year. I got Virginia at 10-1. I do it seemingly every year. Virginia, when they play like they did today, you know, when Guy is on fire the way he is, and you have what they have, they look unstoppable. But they can't get by Duke, who, oh, by the way, Duke won by 30 tonight. So the big boys stepping up. The big boys were stepping up in some cases. Kentucky was never in the game against Tennessee. Kentucky was down by 13 at the half, and it felt like 20. I've been anti-Tennessee all year. I like Barnes. I get it. I don't think Tennessee is. It should have been number one. I don't believe in Tennessee. I've continued to say I do think that, that Kentucky is the best team in the SEC, although I do think that the SEC is the best, second-best conference in the world. This is not an embarrassing loss by Kentucky because it was on Tennessee. Look, it was at the Summit. You know, it's in Tennessee. You got it, all of the metrics, but you lose by 19 to your conference rival. You lose by 19, and they were never, ever in it. I mean, they just were never in this game. That is a huge confidence boost to a Tennessee team that I think needed a confidence boost. I think they needed it. Huge confidence boost there. North Carolina, Clemson, I call this game the game that gets Clemson in or out. I think they needed this win to get into the tournament. They still might squeak in. They almost pulled it off against North Carolina. But the Tar Heels prevail 81-79. I still believe that you have a legitimate argument that North Carolina is the best team in the country. I think they're the best three teams in the country, Virginia, North Carolina, Duke. I have 1-2-3, all from the ACC. I have 1-2-3 for the ACC. I have Gonzaga sitting there at 4. Yeah, and that might be a little ACC bias, and I don't care. North Carolina has the toughest schedule in the country. Now, a game like today, you don't like to see from North Carolina. You don't like to see them struggling like Clemson, who doesn't score a lick, put up 79. And late in the game, North Carolina, for those that had North Carolina -4, -4.5, late in the game they had a 7 or 8 point lead, and Clemson cut it down. Started playing the foul game. And that's how you could beat UNC. Play that foul game. But man, you know what? UNC is Kobe White is dynamic. When he is on, this guy is just on. He had a fantastic game today. Did have a turnover late to give Clemson a little look, though. Indiana beat Michigan. Michigan started creeping up. They had a chance to be inside that top five after today. They go down in Indiana. It's a dangerous spot. Look, the Big Ten, this doesn't hurt Michigan State. But, you know, I see people all going, well, this kind of puts Indiana on the bubble. You can't put Indiana in here. You just can't. You can't have a 6-12 conference record and make the tournament. You can't seriously put this team in the conversation to go to the NCAA tournament. You can't do it. You know, I'm sorry, you can't have an under 500. For me, selection committee, you can't have an under 500, a 6-12 record. 6-12 in a conference. Yeah, this is a big win. Yeah, this is a big home win. And yes, this is a big home win late in the season. I don't care. You cannot do this. You can't put Indiana in. I hope that they're not a legitimate bubble team. Speaking of teams that are overhyped, Houston, everybody seemed to love Houston. Everybody was trolling Houston. I know ESPN Game Day was there today. Oh, Houston, this. UCF went out and beat them. And I like this UCF. I do. I think this UCF team is very, very dangerous. I was talking about this week at the sportsgarden.com and my Sports Garden Network show. I was talking about this week. I like this UCF team. I thought they would win this game. They did. It's a great win on a home court or an away court on Houston's home court. Very, very big for them. Texas Tech beat down TCU. Nothing to see there. LSU gets by Alabama in a game where LSU is a one-point favorite. I watch LSU, guys, and I think they are one of the most talented teams in the country. Can I see LSU winning a championship this year? I can. And I can't say that about everybody. I don't get crazy about this. Do I have LSU going to my Final Four? Not right now, but maybe I will. I got to see how their matchup is. That's how much I believe in LSU. Maybe I'm overrating the SEC, and I've been told for six straight years that I'm underrating the SEC in basketball. Maybe I'm overrating them this year. Maybe I'm overcompensating. I just like what I see from LSU. I like the athleticism. These kids look like they're having fun out there. And yeah, that means something to me. Purdue humiliates Ohio State. Winning by 35. That is incredible. And we've seen what Purdue can be when they all click. Well, this is one of those points where they all click. Kansas wins. K-State wins. Nothing to see here. Florida State struggles, but they win on their home court. Wisconsin finally gets by Penn State. Weird call at the end of the game. Everyone's kind of complaining about. Okay. Iowa goes down at home to Rutgers. Shocking. That won't make the headlines, but absolutely shocking. Cincinnati gets by Memphis. And watch out for Wolford. This is a team, guys. I think another. Keep this in mind when you're filling out your brackets. I think Wolford has a shot to really, really, really upset some brackets. I think Wolford has a shot to really be that team this year. And people go, oh, wait a minute. Is this for real? Is this team really for real? Their losses this year at Mississippi State, when Mississippi State was ranked 17 in the country, at Kansas, at Oklahoma, and against North Carolina. That's their four losses this year. Now, you could point out they don't have a big win, and they don't. They absolutely do not have a big win. So they're kind of the unknown. But I like my chances with Wolford moving forward. They're a team that I'm eyeing. They're a team that I'm circling. I'm going, okay, let's pay attention to Wolford as the brackets start coming out. All right, guys, that's going to do it for this hour. Coming back for hour number two, we're going to talk a little Bryce Harper action. Bryce goes to Philly, but that's not all. Bryce said some things today that gets you to scratch your head. Some good, some bad. One of the biggest blunders that I could ever remember. When we talk about, I'm taking my talents to South Beach, Bryce Harper might be remembered for this quote. We'll come on back and talk about that. Heatwave Sports, be back right after this.
Look up Heatwave Sports on Facebook and on Twitter at HW Sports and at Tom Barton Sports.